Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you're an all-consuming fire. You're our heart's desire. You are the living flame of love. You are the one baptizing us now with your fire. Your consuming fire overwhelms us and overtakes us. Your consuming love on the inside radically changes and alters the very atmosphere of our heart. Lord, we give you permission. We give you invitation. Baptize us. Immerse us. Surround us. Overwhelm us. Overtake us, God, with the fire of your love. Shadow us, Holy Ghost. Come upon us now. Come upon us. We need you, God. We need you now. We're desperate for you. Your consuming love and fire. We appropriate that by faith right now. We receive right now. Pour out your love, God. Pour it out as you overflow in us. Pour it out to all that we meet. Pour it out in us. Touch those places that are deep and dark and hurting and desperate. Touch us with your love, your fiery love. Baptize us now as we sing it out. You are the all-consuming fire. Let's sing it out to him. How high, how wide. Come on. Yes, Lord, your love. Oh, wow, wow. It's breakthrough time. Breakthrough with your love. It's breakthrough time. Sing to the breaker. Sing to the one that carries the anointing. The one that breaks the yoke. You know, the Lord is so good. He's drawing us now into a deeper place of corporate unity, corporate expression. It's great to be in an atmosphere because it feels so good. But the Lord says, when we're in sync, when we're worshiping and crying out together, He moves. He moves in a powerful way. It's just not enough to sit there and play with our kids and say, God, you're good. He's saying, cry out. Not that we're doing that. Just cry out and say, Lord, I need you. My kids need to see. I need you. My grandchildren need to see that. I need to see that. I need you desperately. I'm going up on the mountain. My friends need to see you in me working, God. My company needs to see you. Yes, Lord. You know, I'm just going to tell you, this is so good. Just that the Lord put on my heart this morning a message of apprehension that the Lord wants to get us and get us and keep us good in a place when it looks like things are pretty wacky, things are pretty strange. You know, we might have circumstances that are A-OK or maybe not so A-OK, but somehow He says that in that place of weakness, in that place of desperation, He says, I call myself strong in you, and I call myself in you to rise up, and I call myself in you to take over that which would come and try to keep the atmosphere down. Amen? And this is a time that He's saying, not just because it's Christmas time, but because this is our time. And the Lord says, I'm calling that from each one of us. So when we're called to cry out, think of Gideon's men, 300 on their faces in the presence, lapping up the water, lapping up the living water. And then God takes them to this crazy place of taking the enemy with torches and lanterns. It's just crazy. And He told them to do this really dumb stuff, or what looked like it was. It wasn't. But He had the strategy, and He said, this is what I'm looking for those who will absolutely follow in the wave that looks a little absurd. Just follow in that wave, because the wave of worship is the wave that wins. The wave of worship is the one that receives victory. It's the place of apprehension. It's a place of desperation. It's a place of God saying, let me show you what victory really looks like. Let me show you. Victory comes to those who keep going. Victory comes to those who persevere. Victory comes to those who won't quit, who won't give up, who won't give in, who won't turn over unless it's to die to self. That's where victory comes. And it will come in different ways and different times. But God says, I promise that you will be the receiver of the victory. The Lord says, do you want to be victorious? I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you how. And it needs to stir us, because every word that comes out of the mouth of God is revelatory to change us in the presence, change our children. So when we cry out, when we're just crying out in worship, the Lord says, that's it. You are declaring and decreeing who I am, because your eyes are on me. Your eyes are on what I say, what I do, on my character, on my nature, so that I can manifest justice. I can manifest righteousness. I can manifest healing. I can manifest the miraculous. I can manifest the anointing that breaks the yoke. That's the desire of God, our miracle working God. That's what he wants to do in this hour. Are we together in this? That's the corporateness. We're drawn to worship together. Not just put in our time because it's Sunday and I want to see my friends. God doesn't like that. He likes friends, but he says, come and worship me. Yeah, that's why we're having New Year's celebration with worship and the prophetic decree, prophetic declarations of everything that he is and has done all this year and before, and to bring it into the new year. Okay, isn't that good? I'm excited. I don't know about you. You know, the tougher it seems to get in a lot of personal ways, at least for me, oh man, God is saying, I'm so refining you. How about you? Can you relate to that? Yeah? The Lord says, those pruning shears that I have for you in your life, which is all of us, he says, I'm going to teach you how to turn those into warring instruments. And that's what God wants us to do, to be able to war effectively against the very one that would steal our blessing. God wants us to walk in the blessings, walk in the fullness of his blessing for us. Amen? Amen. Last week, Pastor Jose was here, and he talked all about the stony being stony being removed and taken out. Who was here to hear that? Okay. How many of us took that seriously and said, Lord, show me where the stone might be? That's the important part. Not just that there was a stony, but where that would be. So that we could see. We want to be walking in that resurrection life, don't we? Yeah. And that's what we're going to do together. Yeah. Going out to breakfast is good. Worshiping the Lord's better. Why? Because we need each other, not just the Lord. Do you know that every time you open your mouth and you worship with him, are you hearing me? Every time you open your mouth and you worship, you are blessing the one next to you and the one next to you. And the one next to you. If you're not here, you're not blessing the one next to you. There's a corporate yell. What if Gideon only had 100 people going down to the water? God wanted 300. What if he only had 100? He might have not won that battle. And God would give him an opportunity to do it again. God's got a real specific strategy. Isn't that a good word? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I just want to read a little text I got from Ben Atkinson yesterday. Yeah, we love Ben. He had sent me and Pastor Bill a word to listen to and to pay attention to and read and, you know, spiritual stuff. It was very good. And he said, in light of this, I was praying that God, still praying, that God would continue to send you all to the front line by the power of his Spirit for signs and wonders. I don't know if that would be next year or the year after. Not that we aren't there now, but he's saying to increase this or whenever, but you have his heart. And so it was just a really sweet word, because he prays for us every day and he sees the heart of God here, and he sees us as a place of wanting to do God's very best and wanting to be prostrate before him and worship him in abandon. Just encourage you guys to come out on for all the festivities that are mentioned here, all the good things, and especially on New Year's Eve celebration, so we can give God glory for all the wonderful things in the light of all the fun and frolic that we'll have here too. But to really speak out and declare and decree. And I'd really like to see the young adults at the Edge tomorrow, or next Saturday night, be able to come together too and have the heart and mind of the Lord of what we can do for impartation for the younger ones, the little ones for that night. Bring your children to a New Year's Eve celebration so that they can receive what the impartation will be. It won't just be for the kids. It will be for all of us, but we're going to target them for a segment of the evening as well in the middle of worship and the things that we're doing. How many of you are excited about this month? There's lots going on. Oh my gosh. You guys finished with Christmas shopping? No? Who has not started yet? Oh my gosh, I'm in good company. I haven't either. Literally, I have not even been there yet. It's like, oh, but the tree is up and the house is decorated. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So that's really good. What's that? He got stuff down from the attic and we had help. So, amen. I'm sure he did some. But anyway, God is good. This is an exciting month. Lots of things. Sometimes a month like this can stir up painful feelings or really good feelings. You know, it's a mixture sometimes. But many times we gravitate towards whatever felt good during December if we had those in the early years. And we gravitate toward that. And that can be really good. But what we want to do is really not just say Jesus isn't the reason for the season, but also live that out in whatever way, in the midst of the battles and all the things. So worship is a huge key, just really worshiping the Lord together, corporately. How many are all about corporate worship? Corporate worship. It's important, honestly, in this season and always. So God bless you. And we have a short word today. I want to encourage you guys. So we're going to release the children right now. And I think there's children practice in right after church for the Kingdom Kids Children's Program celebration next week. So bring your families and friends. It's a good time. It's good outreach too, because people are looking for churches a lot of times at Christmas time, also Easter. Something stirs on the inside. So it's good to invite your neighbors. You know, hey, come and check this out. Everybody likes kids. So that's a good thing. Let's try to kind of think about that. Amen. Well, I have a scripture verse in three versions I want to show you. And it's not a very long text, just something that was on my heart. So if we can put up all three of them, that would be great, Bethany. It's actually Joel 3:10. So if you can put that up, that would be helpful. Oh, you are so scattered. Not inside, but just so all out. Yeah. But that's okay, because you can sit where you want. I'm glad. I'm good with it. Okay. Can we put all three at the same time? We're going to try for that. I don't know if they'll all fit up there, but, you know, I like to feed my soul a lot before I minister in any way. I like to do that. Minister in a corporate way like this. It's important. And I feel a responsibility. You know, I hold this mic thinking, man, God, I'm not feeling like I have anything to give or say at times. And I was at one of those times here this weekend as well and thinking, gosh, Lord, I know all your promises for me. So I think, and I'm feeling just good and pretty on fire. Yes. But God, I need a stirring on the inside. I need a stirring. I don't want to have any stone in front of me that would hinder me from ministering in resurrection power, living in resurrection power, and remaining in resurrection power. Hello, guys. And I, you know, it's the cry of our hearts, isn't it? All of us want to feel on fire all the time, forever. Amen. Everybody would say yes. I mean, that makes it nice and fun and easy. But the reality is sometimes we don't experience that. Sometimes we don't feel that. And so we all say, I don't want to be led by my feelings. Everybody says that, right? I don't want to be led. But the truth is, many times we are, right? And so the Lord is always wanting to help us be able to see, spiritually see, more about Him. He's drawing us affectionately to His heart through every circumstance. Everything that we're in, going through, everything that's happening in our life, He is drawing us to His affection. This has been a challenging week for our family. My mom's been in the hospital, was in the hospital a week, finishing last Wednesday, and then Thursday was transferred to a nursing home. This is like a whole new realm for this family and totally unexpected. And it's been hard. It's not been easy at all, especially on my mom and dad. So my mom's there with the desire and the hope that she will be coming out, that she will be released as she regains strength and actually steps into a level of mobility and ability that she hasn't had for a very long time. So there's therapy there. So we're trusting God for a miracle, really, for my mom. And so my dad's walking through this, and, you know, there's just a ton of stuff with that, with a lot of other things going on, just circling around. So, you know, it hasn't been one of those Deck the Halls week, you know, where you just get up and go, where should we go now and what store should we go to and all that kind of stuff. So in the midst of all that, there's always that, like, what's going on here, Lord? What's happening? You know, there's, oh, it looks like we might lose her. Okay, she's not lost, but she's here. But, whoa, tomorrow there's this and all kinds of that kind of stuff. And everybody has their story and everybody has things in their life. Some seasons are a little bit more intense than others, and this is one of them for us, a little bit more of an intense time. But in the midst of that, the Lord is saying, my fire can actually work and move through you more powerfully than ever before if you can see me in the midst of all things. See me in the midst of the lady who's screaming at the top of her lungs next to my mom and, you know, sounding like she's being tortured, which she's not, but in that kind of mode. You know, seeing what I want to do, because you are called wherever you are to be a peacemaker. 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 You can't keep peace, right, if there is no peace. So when this lady is screaming and my mom's looking at me like, oh, because this lady is screaming, it's like, oh, what do I do in a situation like this? Well, mom's alive. She's not screaming. You know, you start thinking about all the blessings, but then also, how can I solve this problem? So if we're a problem solver, how many of us like to be a problem solver, like to fix things or get things taken care of? Really? Only a few? Come on. Are you human? Come on. We all want to solve problems, right? So everybody does. So anyway, I was thinking, like, Lord, how can I do this? I can't go over there. The nurse's aides are there. And I guess this woman does this every night, and it's very tough. And she's suffering from dementia and all kinds of things. And it's just really interesting because her family, her daughter and son-in-law are pastors in the area. Just so happened my mom's in with her. So this older lady was known in her church as a worshiper, her daughter said. And she's out there, and she's just not quite there. She's out there somewhere. And so it's like, gosh, Lord, what can I do? With all the other overwhelming, seemingly overwhelming things, you look at my mom and dad, but what can I do at that moment? How can I be a peacemaker? I believe it's receiving the peace of the Lord and then ministering that. That will make peace in the atmosphere. Not just say, well, I'm called to change the atmosphere, so I'm going to sit here. So I'm going to sit here and burn. It's more than that. As a builder, as a person who wants to build, because I'm a visionary, right? If I have visions of the future and I have visions of what God's promises will be and to be realized in my family and ministry and friends and, you know, the list, then I want to be able to see it come to pass. And so to be a builder, to be a facilitator of seeing that vision, those visions come to pass, I need to understand what it's like to be a peacemaker. It's like, And I think those are words that probably stir us deep on the inside. You know, it's like, something I can do. It's not just be for Jesus now. Good, good, good. Now I can do something. You know, sometimes we get that confused in the inside thinking, oh, well, if I do, then I'm striving. I don't want to strive. Don't want to strive. Don't want to strive. I just want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be. And we try to figure that out. You know, how does it all work? This is true. I mean, I know you. You know, this is the truth for all of us. I think for us to be able to process in reality how to do kingdom, how to do this life when it's not easy, especially. Amen? So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, God, I need to be a peace receiver. I need to be in peace. Am I in peace right now? It's like, yeah, I think I am. I'm feeling okay. I'm good. I'm peaceful. Yeah. I'm kind of talking to the Holy Spirit, looking at my mom with her eyeballs like this, with all this yelling going on. And so I looked at my mom. I smiled at my mom because I didn't have the right to go over and talk to this lady they were dealing with there. And this is an every night thing that happens because this is what happens. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I had my pad of paper out and I'm writing the simplest prayers out. Jesus, thank you for loving me, in big print for my mom. Jesus, thank you for caring about every detail in my life. Okay, taking up a whole page for that. Jesus, thank you that you love me. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. You take all fear from me. Thank you. I don't have to be afraid. Thank you. You give me peace. You give me joy. So I'm writing this in this notebook, and I had started right around that time because I had asked my mom, I said, Mom, are you feeling afraid? And she said, yes. So I could say, don't be afraid. You're a trooper. That's not going to work here. I can put my hand on her and release peace. Yes, that's good too. But it's even better if she can at all cooperate. And since she is speaking right now, she wasn't before. Yes, that's really good. So anyway, so when the level of noise started to rise, where, it's that inner shaking, then I looked at my mom and we came into agreement and she's looking at me and I probably heard things a little bit more definitely than my mom, who's got two hearing aids. But she was speaking the words and I'm smiling, looking into her eyes. And I'm going like this. And I said, Mom, go ahead. Do you believe this? Yes. It's like, yeah. Peace starts raining on our side. There's only a curtain separating us. But I wanted peace to rain on the other side too. Not just with my mom, who I'm very protective of, which you would be too, right? But I want the peace over here for this lady. So we keep speaking. And my mother is slowly speaking these words. I can just feel peace come in this room. And then peace transferring, however that works in the spirit. And she calmed down. She settled down. It's like, whoa, God. What is this? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for you shall be called sons or children of God, depending on your version. It's like, well, how do I transfer that to the bigger problems in life? You all have them, right? Because that one could be solved some way. Because if she didn't settle down, they would do something to help her settle down. They wouldn't let her scream all night. That's what happens in a nursing home. They would do something. That's what they say. So, it's like, God, how does that transfer over the little things? What can I do? So I back up and I think about my life during the day or the days before, because it's just been, kind of this new eventful thing for the last 10 days. Lord, where have I not been a peacemaker as your child? Where have I not taken a step to be able to invite your peace into a situation, if at all, if that was the case? Where was I not easily used by you where I could have been? Where would that be? And that's not becoming introspective. That's just becoming aware so that I'd be able to continue to grow. Because God wants to grow us up, So more and more and more. So I started to think about those things. Not from one of these, but from a place of, wow, this is so good. There's glory released in that situation yesterday, last night. Why? Because something happened in the spirit, and it was the weight of God, okay, that came. Another word for glory is weightiness. The weightiness of the manifest presence of God was released. I could feel him tangibly close by. So here we are saying, I don't want to be moved by my feelings. Well, when it's the glory of God, move me. I like that. Move me. But that weight of glory that I could sense and feel was so exciting. And I was able to share that with Pastor Bill when I got home, that there was a shift, maybe not to this degree here, but sharing that what had happened, and it was just so cool. But on my way home from the nursing home last night, I was just thinking, God, what, that was amazing what you did. And then he spoke to me and he said, well, it was amazing what I did when you pushed your mom in the wheelchair for the first time into a cafeteria, into their dining hall or dining room, and you sat across from a couple of ladies who have some severe issues, and you spoke to them, and you invited them, and you engaged with them, and they saw the spark of life in your eyes, not just helping feed your mother, but also what you were doing around there. You were a peacemaker at that time also, even though it was kind of, you know, easy and fun, meaning nobody's screaming, everybody's eating. But because you were serving that way, you were part of the building of the vision that you say you have from me. It's like, what? What vision is that? Oh, the vision for the nations. Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, the vision for this house. Oh, yeah, that one, or 10 or 20. The vision for your family. Oh, yes, there are many. Okay, all of that is in my heart for you, Mary Pat. He's speaking to me. And each one of those blessings and visions will come to pass as you maintain and you call them in through my process. And you will take a step closer and closer to seeing the realization, having the realization of those visions being manifested. Because that's where my glory, when my glory shows up that way, things will change. Things will look and feel different. People will get along. Money will come. Okay? Increases will happen. You know, think of all the things that you'd like to see. When Jamie was speaking out this morning, I don't know if she's in here or not. Are you in here, James? Oh, right there. Okay. Such a big crowd, I just couldn't see you, but there you are. But Jamie was speaking out all the things in her heart about worship. And it was burning. Those things were burning in her heart with a desire not only to worship the Lord, but for all of us to come into agreement with those things so that the glory would increase here being manifested. God likes agreement. He wants agreement. I didn't write the book. It's just how it is, you know? He wants us to agree with what is in heaven, to bring it to earth. But many times God tells us that he will do that in seed form. So going to a nursing home and doing the things, well, of course I would do that for my mom. But sitting and talking to someone else to see the result of what God would like to bring about in me, in the situation for my family, and in that very place at that moment is part of receiving the vision, the manifestation of the vision. Yeah. And that's our future. So last night I get home, and I was actually in my bed, our bed, and I was just, you know, reading and such and looking at, had my cell phone up there in case it rings in the middle of the night for all the drama going on right now. And I get this text from Peter. God bless you, Peter. Are you in here? He's in the back. Okay. Got his text from Peter, and Peter has been, the Lord's been speaking to him about the visions for this building or the visions for the future for our land. There are many who are in here and also some who have left who have been given visions from God, dreams and visions, supernatural manifestation that they couldn't muster up, came from God. So we go, glory, hallelujah. And they're very specific about the future. It's like, wow. And without vision and believing vision and holding on to vision and appropriating that vision of any kind, people perish. Perish. We don't like the word. But perish means to think of fruit. Think of fruit that's been sitting out for a while. Think of those bananas that, you know, you love to see yellow all the time. Then they get these spots. They turn brown and mushy. And you try to pawn them off on somebody, cut them up, you know, put them in the freezer for a little bit and then cut them up and maybe they'll eat them. But no, people can see through that. So, you know, but they start to perish. You know, there's a lot of shelf life there where they've not been used. Okay? They have not been used for the purpose intended at that moment. The purpose intended at that moment was for consumption, right? And so they're sitting there hoping something will happen. Maybe they'll be turned into banana bread. I don't know. Okay, but there's purpose for some reason for them. And so without that, when they're in the atmosphere, when the oxygen hits them, Okay? Something's going to turn brown. So either you eat it, you mash it, or you pitch it. Something happens. And so it's similar to us. Call yourself a banana. God is saying, I don't want you to sit on a shelf and rot. I want you to participate with what I'm doing at that moment. And there might be a little bit of a weight involved in this. But the weight can be all right. W-A-I-T. As you wait for the W-E-I-G-H-T of his glory. The weight equals weight. Well, that's really good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I had no intention of saying any of this. It's just coming out here. So I just really, bananas. So I really believe that God is wanting us to take a look at what he means by the word, not banana, weight. W-A-I-T, as well as the weight of his glory. Now, if you're like I am, okay, I hear a message and I go, so, whoa, what's that have to do with me? Think about your own life right now. I'm giving you a little peek into what some of the things we've been going through for the last 10 days. You're only getting a little peek only because you don't want to hear all these details of the whole morning. But I can tell you that the Lord is wanting to increase each one of us through each one of these crazy times in our life that sometimes seem to piggyback one another, like, seriously? Now we're going down this road? Did you see what was going on back here? Yes. And God's not worried, God's not bothered, and he's not stressed out. So he says, so neither will you be. In Jesus' name. If you engage my process, because I'm all about the process. It's about the process. Now, I've been at Legends. Actually, Pastor Bill and I started the Legends ministry at the very beginning of all this, 9 or so years ago. Okay, and we were there all the time, every week. Loved it. Pastor Ken and Roberta. You know Pastor Ken, someone who had mentored me, and his wife were residents there. They were the ones who were the initial starters for the Legends, or the Heartland Nursing Care Facility, Heartland Behavioral Center. He had been the ministering pastor out there for 30 to 40 years. And years ago, long before Frontline, he came up to me and he said, Mary Pat, come with me. What? Where? Come out to Massillon State Hospital. Sure. I liked helping people and I was doing different things in ministry. And he said, let's just go out there. He saw. I don't know how. I didn't know any of this. He knew. I don't know how much he knew, but he knew. And God used that. So he's gone home to be with the Lord. So is Roberta. But both those ministries are thriving and are part of the vision. See? And God is saying, I'm going to teach you why that vision is so important. It's part. It's not all, but it's part. Very important part. So all those years going to Legends, I don't seem to have the opportunity and time right now to do that in the schedule God has for me. But here I am now, back at Legends, if you will, but at St. Luke's Nursing Home in North Canton. And I'm there all the time, as much as I can be right now. And wow, it's like, God, what are you showing me now from that experience then? And what from that experience can I bring into this experience here? Not just in how to, like, oh yeah, I've seen that before, but who I have become. Who am I to the Lord? He likes that I serve. He likes that you serve. But he's saying, how much of me in you has taken over? That's what he's looking at. It's really what he's looking at. And that's what draws you into the presence. That's what draws you into wanting to come here and worship. Becoming more like him. Communing with him, connecting with him. And we find that way. Okay, not through talking ourselves into it like, oh, it's time, we better go. But there's this inner draw. I just have to be close to you. And I've got to be with my sisters and brothers to just cry out to you together. Because I don't know what that will produce, but I know it's good. I know it's good. So when you guys worship and such, and I wasn't here on Tuesday, I was over at the hospital, I believe, right? Was that Tuesday? And what you're doing here affects where I am, what I needed to do in a very desperate situation. It's very important. So what we're doing here is very important, more important than we realize. So we don't forsake the assembling together for that reason, not because it's the law. But anyway, you know, with the idea of what God wants to do for each one of us in this season for Christmas, we really want to ask him. I mean, how many of us have situations that we want to see turned around? Okay? Everybody does, right? Maybe it's a personal thing for your own health. Maybe it's personal for health and the health of somebody you know and love. Maybe it's going to be for some emotional health, or maybe it's going to be to see a division in a family or a circumstance turned around, or whatever it is. You just like, God, I can't do this. I'm willing, but I need your help. He says, well, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So the grace is always there for us in every situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how stretching it is. The grace abounds to be able to enable us to go, well, here's a good one. God, what do we do now? And that means that the grace is there to roll the stone away. The grace is there. Now, if you don't know what that's all about, you weren't here last week, go listen to Pastor Jose's message. But the Lord is so determined. He says, if you want to keep the stone there, the grace is there. You can just keep at it, because it will be rolled away one way or the other. But it may not be in the timing that you want to see it, unless you cooperate with how I would like to roll it away. And I want to roll it away with you. And I give you the grace. The grace will come upon you as you step in for these stones to be rolled away. Maybe they're emotional stones. Maybe it's something you don't feel good about. You don't feel comfortable about with the way that you carry yourself, the way that you are, the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you speak, the way that you do kingdom. It's like, no, that's not me. No, I can't. No. God says, look, I'll give you an opportunity over and over and over again for you to agree with my process, because I'm more interested in who you're becoming than the outcome. I am more interested in that. It's like, oh, what about the outcome? Oh, I get that too. But I'm going to teach your hands to war the right way. And you're going to war from a place of peace. So when I was in that room last night, I was warring from a place of peace. And you could feel the peace in that place. Even in the midst of all the blah is going on, you could see it. You could see Jesus moving in the people. I wanted to show you these verses. Yes. Oh, this is good. These are just the coolest verses. So Joel 3:10 in three versions, okay? Because we are going to be ignited again in a deeper place for what he has for us today to be able to go ahead and, you know, go after it again, so to speak. But from a place where Shannon said she was up here worshiping, where a place where the oil that's coming out, or the water that's coming out of a cup that's overflowing, is going to result in our coming into this funnel agreement with the Lord. When we're worshiping him, we're telling him who he is. We're speaking it out. Our words are spirit and life. His words are spirit and life. And when we agree with heaven, something shifts. And we want it to shift in our circumstances, don't we? As well as beyond. Okay? We have a responsibility. Sometimes that word gets really messed up because we think, yes, sir, I'm responsible. Okay? And sometimes we run from that going, well, that never worked when I was a kid. Anytime I even thought about that, I'd get beat or hit or something, or, you know, out to dry, hanging out to dry somewhere. You know, it just wasn't good. So responsibility, I run from that. I don't want to. So I pick myself up and I try it again. I try to be responsible and I fall again. The Lord says, get the stone out of the way and you'll be able to run in, under the grace that I've given you. Yeah. It's like, oh, good. No more stones. Okay, but anyway, let's see. Joel 3 says, beat your plowshares into swords. This is amplified. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I'm a warrior. I'm a strong warrior. Okay, so beat your plowshares into swords. What's a plowshare? And your pruning hooks into spears. Okay, we'll keep reading and then you'll figure this out, because God always explains himself. All right, here's the New American Standard Version. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm a mighty man. Okay, Joel 3:10, the message. Announce this to the godless nations. Prepare for battle. Soldiers at attention. Here's the soldier. Here's the soldier saluting, just what I was saying before, but from a spiritual perspective. Present arms in advance. What happens when you present arms? What are you doing? What are you doing, Mike? You're holding your rifle out. What for? What purpose? Getting ready. That's good. Okay? You present your arms. I can't do all that. You've seen that, you know, at parades in different places, right? Or in Washington, D.C., and they present their arms ready to go. All right, you're getting ready, and you're also saying, this is my weapon, okay? Don't mess with me or the people that I want to protect. Because I have a job that's part of the vision, and I am called by your grace to carry it out. Without vision, people perish. So I need my arms to be working in working order. I need to present themselves as a living sacrifice. So watch this. Okay, I'm going to jump forward. I have just presented my arms. I have just presented myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable act of worship and service. Okay, Romans 12:1. I present myself. I lay down myself. Here I am. I lay myself down. Whether I go to the nursing home or whether I go to a nation or whether I go get groceries at Giant Eagle, I am presenting myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, O God. This is reasonable. In other words, this is what you expect. It's not my idea of reason. It's your idea. You say, this is reasonable because I call you to do this. I call you to present yourself completely as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me, God says. Like, whoa, okay, then I am going to take all these steps together, God, and you're going to enable me because the grace is there. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world, guys, come on. Take a look at the world and go, well, deck the halls, it's great, it's fine. Have a Christmas tree. I do, it's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. He says, don't be conformed to the world thinking. We've got to be spiritually minded all the time, 24/7. Don't know where we're going to be. We might be in the bathroom of a nursing home going, I don't know where to go here. You see? But we have to be spiritually on, spiritually minded, spiritually presenting our arms, presenting ourselves in all situations. I want to be a peacemaker. In other words, I want peace to overtake me, overwhelm me all the time so that I can release peace. Yeah? Then we can keep it. But you can't keep what you don't have. I'm a peacekeeper in the family. If you're not at peace, no way. You can't keep something that's not there. If you're trying to fix things, you know, you need to get along with her and you need to get along with him and everybody needs to get along and let's get along and let's get along and let's get along. That's not keeping peace. You may think it's keeping peace, but where there is no peace, what do? It starts here. It starts inside here. The Lord says, let peace reign, love win, and joy be in the house. This is your house right here. And then we can be peacemakers. See the difference? Yeah, oh, I like this. This is really good. Okay, let's take a look up here. So announce this to the godless nations. Prepare for battle. Soldiers at attention. Present arms. And then advance. Okay? Present yourself. I am the arms. And I advance. I do both. There's an exclamation point. Present yourself. So you don't stay here. You stay low, but you present yourself, and then you advance. This is the way to advance. You present. The weapons are in order. They're clean. They're right. They're good. Spiritually, they're holy, pure, holy, pure. The Lord says, I'm preparing your hands for battle because the battle is going on. It's going on or trying to go on in your mind right now. It was trying to go on in your mind as soon as you woke up this morning with your choices. What do I want to do? The battle is already raging. Who can I agree with? Who will agree with me? And then I will go do what we agree to do. And I'm having fun, but I may not be doing what God is saying. It's like, oh. Okay? The Lord knows what he's wanting to accomplish corporately for us so that we can go out and accomplish individually by ourselves what he wants us to accomplish. But we've got to be together. We can't just speak out unity. We need unity. Yes, we do. Okay. Unity is a spiritual state of being. So that unifying spirit of God will come as we each take responsibility for what he's saying. Does that make sense? Is that good? Does that encourage us? This is like a personal, you know, it's like a commander going, okay, troops, we're going to do this. Ah! And the troops are like, okay, I'll do this. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But what happens when you're in that foxhole and the commander's not right there? What are you going to do? What did he say 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 to do? If you're trained, you'll be able to respond fairly well. What if the Holy Spirit says, I know that's what you heard from your training. Now let's put it in a way that will bring peace. Let me show you the way that will actually be where I use you as a peacemaker in a situation that's really strange. It's like Jamie and I, a year and a half ago, I think it was, we're going to Cambodia and we were stuck in Cleveland for a while. And we had a problem with the plane getting there on time to Chicago to be able to catch our international flight to Cambodia. So it did not look good. You know, you look at the board in the airport and it tells you that your flight is not going to be on time, meaning us on the flight that needs to be there to catch the connecting flight in Chicago over to Cambodia. It's like, okay, well, God, you want us there. You've got a plan and we're going to stand in agreement with you. We're going to believe for the supernatural, which means above the natural, which means above the board, which means above what the flight attendant says, which means above whatever is going on. We're going to believe that because we love you enough and we just believe. Simple. So we get to Chicago and they're telling us that the plane is there, or that it had, I forget if it was there or taken off. We did not have enough time. Once we came in, it was a good 20 minutes or something like that, Jamie. 20 minutes to get from when our plane landed to be able to get all the way across O'Hare Airport and catch our plane. More than 20 minutes. It's like, okay, so what do you do? Well, we're not going to make it. Let's figure out how to get other alternative ways to get to Cambodia. No. Let's take a step. We were told by people, hey, when you get there at the airport, go and talk to XYZ person and they'll tell you what to do. Go to the gate. Okay, go to the gate. So we went to the gate. But as we were on the way to the gate, or what we thought was the gate, we were going to have to get our boarding pass. We were going to have to get that in Chicago. And then we were going to have to go through security, looking at the clock, going, the plane? I don't get this, but we're still going to walk forward. So as Jamie and I are walking, listening to the instructions that were given us, because we're good soldiers, we can listen, we can be obedient. One of the people in this process said to us, make sure you go to a counter over here, ticket counter, get the papers that you need, and then you go back into security, wait in line. Remember this? So we're ready to go, and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. It's like, oh my gosh, this is really crazy. I said, Jamie, we're not going there. We just need to stand in this great big cattle line. I mean, just hundreds of people. We're just going to stand there. And she, being a daughter of faith, said, okay. That's not what they told us to do, but okay. So we did. Stood there. It's like, this is... All right, this guy randomly comes over, sees us standing there, and says, can I help you? He comes over and he talks to us and we said, yeah, we need to get on a plane that probably has left or could have left. I don't know what we said, but the idea was, according to the what was on the board, this was not a good situation for us. He says, come with me. So he takes us all the way through the line. He sends one of his gopher people to go get our boarding passes. We didn't even go over there. He takes us and we go right through this huge line, hundreds of people. Or maybe a little bit less, but it was huge. I mean, there were many, 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 many people. Big sea of people. Honestly. And we just walked right through. We walked right through. Just, hello? Hi there. Hello? And we get through, And on the other side is one of those little carts you always want to ride in, those little golf cart things, waiting for us. Jamie and I look at each other, got our papers. We get on this golf cart going, what is going on? This is like really cool. So they zoom us all the way down to the gate. And it's what, a good 20, 25 minutes, something like that. Okay, the plane's supposedly gone. And we have people there. And they said, we've been waiting for you. They held the plane for us. Now you may think, oh, they don't do that. Oh, yes. When God's involved, God's involved. And he was involved. And it was a huge, huge turning point. And Jamie faced a lot of things on that trip. And she always was able to also remember, God is sending me. God is with me. God is behind me. From a miracle, a sign right there. It was huge. It's like, wow, what's going to happen on this trip? There was so much glory and there was some tragedy. But God said, keep going in the midst of what is happening. Keep going. Keep praising me. Keep worshiping me. Keep going forward. Keep thanking me because I will fulfill the vision and you will not perish. It's good. So let's finish up this verse and close. So, soldiers at attention, present arms, advance, turn your shovel, there's the word, into swords. Turn your hoes into spears. Let the weak one throw out his chest and say, I'm tough. I'm a fighter. Hurry up, pagans, wherever you are. Get a move on. Get your act together. Prepare to be shattered by God. I just like this. This is just how I roll. It's like, yeah, this is me. Nice little PMP. But this is who I am in the spirit. And this is who we are in the spirit, all of us. Amen. The Lord is saying, it's nice to have your shovel and let's dig around. And you know, it's good to build the wall and let's work. But let's turn that. Let's turn that plowshare. Let's turn that shovel. Let's turn that pruning hook into a spear, into a sword. In other words, as God is helping us remove the stones and take care of the work that he has for us as we're removing the stones so that resurrection life can come out, he's saying, let all of this work for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you see, let it work for you. If you'll let it work the way God wants it to work, there will be javelins, there'll be spears, there'll be swords coming in, bam, 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 and the enemy will start to fear you. You want the spirit of the fear of the Lord? The Lord says there is a way. You worship me, you listen to these words of life, and you apply them. You don't just listen with your ears. You apply them and say, this is a day where my life changes. I was telling Pastor Bill yesterday when I became a new believer, long time ago, decades ago, I remember a message that somebody gave at a church long, long time ago. And I remembered, I was telling him this yesterday, and this message, the title of it or the theme behind it was, discouragement is the greatest tool of the enemy. And I remember, I don't know why, probably because there was going to be a lot of it coming my way for a long time. I can look back and go, yep, I needed that. Because I have to stand in the face of it, boom, and push it back. I cannot afford to let that tool come against this arsenal. Because it's meant to disengage me. It's meant to disengage you. And it has disengaged others. And so if you want to be a peacemaker, you need to have your weaponry, you, as a presentation to the Lord, going forward, advancing in the power and the admonition of the Lord at all times, and watching and praying, you know? And saying, what do I do now, this moment? When I get up in the morning, I don't feel like, everybody has that. When I get up in the morning, I don't feel like, think of today, think of yesterday, think of this last week. But nevertheless, you and I, Lord, are a majority. And we are going to go in war, presenting ourselves because you're actually in front of me, God. You're not just in me. You're in front of me. You're behind me. We're doing this together. The grace is there for my life. The grace is abounding in any area of weakness. And your grace is sufficient to enable me to advance even in the midst of the most painful situations. And some of us have been facing some for quite some time. And the Lord is saying, okay, in the midst of that, in the midst of that pain, let there be gain in the area where we can say, okay, Holy Spirit, you come upon me. I need you to move now. And I'm going to worship you until I sense your glory and presence all over me. And then out of that, I will make my decisions. Because out of that, then, I am overflowing, and then I'm effective. So if someone comes to me and says, hey, do you want to do da-da-da-da-da? I will rise up and say, no, come on, let's do da-da-da-da-da. You see, I'm going to be an influencer to those who are the closest friends around me, closest family members around me, closest one around me, because that heaven is going to race through me. So when heaven comes to earth, that's the bigger vision. That's the 100%, of course. Who doesn't believe that? We say it in the Lord's Prayer every day. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not just coined by Bethel. This is in the Bible. Bring heaven to earth every day. You see? Heaven comes to earth. But the Lord says, I may release that in seed form. And when that seed is there, and you've got your shovel and you've got your, what's the other word? Oh, okay, and you're tilling the garden and all that. Let the garden tiller come in and continue to do what you're starting to do. Keep moving. Keep moving. And that way you won't be ahead of God. You'll be with him. He's running with you like this. Although he's out in front somehow and behind us somehow. But yet he's running with us like this. Saying, come on, guys, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to give you eyes to see. I'm going to show you why what's going on in the season is going on. And it's not going to be your opinion. I'm going to show you some things. Maybe you see some things, but I'm going to show you even bigger things. And if he doesn't show you what you think you want to hear or know, or maybe he doesn't release it all at that point, sometime he will, in one way, shape, or form. We may not have the fullness of it, but we'll have an awareness of it. The Lord says, I will give you the awareness that you need to go forward and advance. Because if I'm the commander in chief, he says, and I am trying to help you move forward and advance, you've got to have an understanding of what the bigger vision is. So you're not walking around like this. So we carry the bigger vision to be able to help fulfill the smaller visions. The bigger goal and the smaller goals will come to pass. But we have to have that bigger vision. I'm telling you, New Year's Eve, we're going for it. This has been a glorious year. Glorious year. And the Lord says, I deserve the glory. So I'm not trying to say, come to an event. We need people. And no, no, no. That's not my heart. I'm saying, if you can make this, come and participate with your mouth, with your being. Because we're gonna do some damage in the kingdom of darkness and release what God has for this company, your family, your friends, your finances, your existence, your destiny, vision for you. What God wants to do inside of you in 2015 and your families, okay? We are serious about this in an excited way. And so he's calling us to say, come on, guys, I'm going to back you up. All heaven's going to look down on frontline and say, aha, just like other places. But you're part of this. So you come and you participate with fullness from this place of need. I need you. He shows up in the place of need. Do you know that? You know why we go into villages in Africa and he shows up with wonder, signs, miracles, creative miracles? It's a place of need. He loves it. He's not afraid of sin. He's not worried about it. That's his deal. But he says, I am calling you. I am calling you. Now represent me well, child, as I fill you with my peace. Amen? Are you encouraged today? Yeah? The rest of this month, preparing for what's coming for Christmas and all, this is, take this today and think it through. Think through these words and let that so encourage you. Let that so overwhelm you when you go out and you pray for that person who's healed in the parking lot. That you proclaim that back to the Lord. Wow. And as Jamie, I did hear her say this morning, as she said, remember what God has done. He will pour out his blessing on your life as you remember what he has done. Okay, I posted a picture last night. I saw, I forget who did it first, on Facebook from 2013. It was a picture of the 2013 Moe's team coming out of the airport. And it just like, wah, it hit me. And I posted and I said, I love this team. I love every team. I love this team. Because that team was very special. So was the one this year. But that team, that picture, just like, wah! And I started to remember, bam, bam, bam. He said, she said, they said, he did, they did. Wow, God, you manifested. It was amazing. I was thanking him in my study, praising him for that, going, yes! And they were coming off the plane in victory. That needs to be proclaimed and shouted and thanked and then brought into the now, because the Lord says, from that point, I intend you to take you to that point. But the enemy says, from that point, I intend to rob from you. You see? So anything that we've experienced in the glory in God for what he's done, the enemy says, that can't stay. That can't remain. They can't remember. They can't celebrate. And I'll see to it any way that I can, through distractions, through discouragement, or whatever it would be. God says, no, 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 not my people who are called by my name. They will humble themselves. They will pray. They will seek my face. They will turn from their wicked ways. And then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This is your land. And the Lord says that promise is for us. Amen? All right. Let's just be on our feet. Father, we just praise you this morning. We thank you for this glory call. We thank you for the clarion call, oh God, right now, for you to touch the depths of our heart, Lord, that we will not walk in anything other than the fullness of the manifestation of the goodness of you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that right now you're stirring us up. You're stirring us up, Lord God. You're showing us how good you are. You're showing us people that we need to forgive, people that have harmed us, people who have said unkind things to us or about us, people who have walked away, people who have dissed us, who have not valued us or treasured us, who have hurt us in some way. Father, you are putting the faces and the names, the ones who have disappointed us, the ones that have left us bewildered and bedazzled. Father, we see those people and we are asking for the grace to come to release them from the depths of our hearts into the places, Lord God, that you can help them and deal with them and take over in their life. Thank you, Lord, that you release that over us right now. You release the gift and spirit of repentance for holding fast to those places of pain. Holy Spirit, come and cleanse us on the inside, that we would hold fast to everything that you're telling us this morning, telling us, oh God, that these plows and these hoes, Father, are turning into, these shovels are turning into spears and swords. Oh God, they're going to be used for the purpose that you allowed them to have room in our life in any way. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that any digging now will come from you, showing us what you want to cultivate in our life. Nothing that will dig us out of trouble, Father, but dig us into a place in your heart, Father, that there will be a turning over of the soil inside of your heart, that you're cultivating our garden. And Father, we're coming up with these spears and these swords to be able to stand firm and fast as your children, as your soldiers, presenting ourselves, presenting arms, saying it's time to advance. Thank you, Lord God, that you're making it so clear to us, even at the end of the scripture that speaks to the heathen and says, watch out, here I come. So I thank you, Lord, that anything that has brought hurt and pain or harm to anybody in this body, in this company of people, is meant to be turned into good. So we claim Romans 8:28 over this body right now. For we know that in all things you work for the good of those who love you, who've been called according to your purpose. So we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the realization of promises, for the realization of the breakthrough that they're looking for and standing for. Father, for the faith to come to those who are saying yes and amen. The faith to come in the midst of need crying out. For the faith to believe that you can be trusted and you can be completely held fast too. Thank you, Lord, that you never let us down. You know exactly what you're doing. Your timing is perfect and your process we embrace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so gracious today. Let it be as we leave here empowered and lifted up and strengthened and overwhelmed by your glory and goodness, because you love us so much. Thank you, Lord, for increase in the rhythm of our heart beating with your heart today. Let it be, God, in greater measure. Let it be as we leave here with a smile. Let it be as we praise you. Let it be as we worship you. Let it be as we expect the unbelievable, as we believe for the impossible. Let it be that our faith would rise, that we would never give up. We'd release discouragement to you right now, completely, and that hope would be restored. Thank you for new hope, new places, God, in faith, newness, God, to be able to go the gamut, to go the extra mile, to go the extra place in the race that you have for us. Let it be today, God, that we would say yes and amen. Do it again, Lord. Do it inside of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Can we just give a big shout of thanks to the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Woo, God's good. That was fun. Amen. Have a good week. We'll see you Tuesday.